Hi, my name is Matt Smith, and I'm one of the co-pastors here at the table at Central United Methodist Church. You're listening to the podcast from our Candlelight Christmas Eve gathering. This podcast weaves together the message shared this evening in worship, along with selections of the music that we experienced here together as we gathered to celebrate the beauty and the mystery of Christmas Eve. We will be together tomorrow morning for Christmas Day for one service only at 9:30 in the morning here in the sanctuary at 5265 H Street, and we would love for you to join us there. And then we'll turn our entire campus into a home for around 100 unhoused guests to be with us during this week, and we would love for you to take time now to sign up online at thetableumc.org to reach in love by joining us in extending hospitality to the unhoused adults who will make this sanctuary their home for the week ahead. We also will gather on New Year's Day for just one worship service at 9:30, so please make note of that. As we do move toward the end of the year, we wanted to share just a brief update on the finances for our church community. We began the month of December looking as though we would finish the year about $10,000 down. We had phenomenally generous first three Sundays here in December, and so it looks like it is actually possible that we could finish the year in the positive, but we know we will rely upon the phenomenal generosity of folks in our community to help us do just that over these final days of 2016. So we know that not everyone is in a place where we can extend beyond where we already have, but some of us, we trust, might be led by God to share from a place of generosity so that this community can close the gap and that we can cover all of our ministry expenses this year. So if you're one of those people who might be in a place where you can extend, whether that is going beyond your original deep commitment or making a first-time gift today, we would invite you to do so online at our website, thetableumc.org. Merry Christmas and thank you.
Joseph, he traveled all through the night. Nobody but Joseph and his darling little wife. I said there were three wise men coming from afar. Oh, Bible tell me they were guided by the star. Yeah, they fell down to worship this Holy One. But way back I heard them say, there ain't no room for this child to be born. And they said there ain't no room. Child to be born. You know they traveled.
Friends welcomed us to their home again this year for Thanksgiving. And before the night had ended, their teenage daughter gifted to our 7-year-old all of her American Girl dolls and accessories. And some folks might not know, but this is a really, really, really big deal. While this phenomenal teenager was gifting something that was very, very special to her, she was also making room in her own life. She was making room for some new ways of being in the world. And it meant that our daughter brought all of these things back home, and her toy chest that was already filled became overflowing. And so it meant our daughter had to also make room for these new things, which meant some really hard choices about some phenomenal gifts that she had received in years past. Making room can be a gift and a blessing, and it can also be a challenge. After our worship tomorrow on Christmas Day at 9:30, we will make room for around 100 unhoused adults to gather here and to take sanctuary in this space for the week. And one of the things that's happened as we've gotten ready to make room for these unhoused adults is we had to actually take the stuff that we were storing for refugee families and figure out where to store it to make room so that people could come here and make this their home. Recovery groups that meet here every single night and are transforming people's lives are going to shift things up this week so that they can make room for unhoused guests. And we all work together in this way because that's what you do. And for most of my life, I have heard this story of Christmas in the Gospel of Luke from a framework of that child in the pageant. Someone asked me as they were coming in a teasing way about a pageant. And we've all experienced this, and this has been kind of the frame that I have read this story through. And it's the child who's dressed up in a costume and announces to everyone in the room, especially the child's parents, that there is no room in the inn. And he doesn't have to say it loud. Usually there's a sign that the child holds, and it says, no room. We sang this as we came in tonight. We sang that there ain't no room at the inn for your child to be born. And it's this powerful reminder that we don't always welcome God into the world. Too often we say no room and we try to turn God away. But the song continues that through the night, storm, and rain, that little child, Jesus, truly had to be born. Again, it's another reminder that God comes to us anyway. Even to the places where we think there is no room, God comes to be among us. So this year, I'm hearing the story a little bit differently. We heard Linda just read it aloud. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. But it's not like Airbnb was down. It's not like cheaphotels.com wasn't working at that moment. See, this Greek word that we translate here for inn, it's only found in one other place in the Gospels. And there we translate it as upper room. And this is a really interesting distinction to me because in houses in Bethlehem, typically at this time what you would have is the ground floor would be storage where you would bring your animals in for safety at night. And then the family would live together in one open room above that. And then usually on the third floor, there'd be open air. Some families would have their family room together where they literally all lived and dwelled, where they slept. And then next to that was where the animals would be. So this year, as I'm hearing this story, I'm holding that image and realizing that they weren't greeted with this no room in the way that I've imagined it. Instead, the family whose home they were coming to had already likely welcomed folks for the census. So they were already busy making space in their upper room for people that they didn't know, for strangers to come in, for guests. And I imagine the shared family room was overflowing, kind of like my daughter's toy box when we put those American Girls dolls into it. So instead of hearing an innkeeper yelling, no room, this year I'm imagining a mother and a grandmother looking around, recognizing that they've already taken in strangers and guests to the only space that they have. And as Mary and Joseph come up, realizing that the only place they have left is where they store their animals. I'm imagining their faces as they look around and take them to what I kind of equate to a garage where we kennel dogs at night. And they think, we have already extended in every way we can, and we're going to keep going. This is the best that we can do. They're going out of their way to make room. And I imagine the face on Mary and Joseph as they're ushered to that place where animals are stored. And I believe that ancient hearers of this story would have imagined the innkeeper of my childhood with the sign, not like I did, but instead something like this. Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, laid him in a feeding trough, because there was no place in the upper room where the family and the guests were sleeping. So instead of God making room, where we say no room is to be found, it seems that the story might challenge us to see that God is coming into the world in the most ordinary and unexpected of places as we go about extending hospitality to strangers, to folks that we're welcoming in. For some of us, as we come in tonight, that's what we've been doing all day, getting ready to welcome people into our space. So it might sound familiar. These are strangers in the ancient world, though. And that's how I'm hearing this ancient but never old story this year. God being born where folks who are unnamed and likely often overlooked are going about the radical but ordinary work of practicing hospitality to folks who wander into their doorstep. There are some authors of a children's book. It's called Room for a Little One. It's by Martin Waddell and Jason Croft. And I think they get the depths of this story in a powerful way. And so I want to invite our young friends to make sure we look up here so we can see some of this together. And I want to share just some pieces. It was a cold winter's night. Kind ox lay in his stable, close to the side of the inn, or you might say, beneath the family's shared room that was overflowing with strangers for the night. Old dog came by, and he stopped and looked in the stable. "I need somewhere to rest," said old dog. "Come inside," kind ox said. "There's always room for a little one here." Old dog came in and lay down in the straw. He nestled close to kind ox, sharing the warmth of his stable. Stray cat peered in. She saw old dog and she stopped. Stray cat arched her back and her fur bristled. "I'll not chase you," said old dog. "Come inside," kind ox said. "There's always room for a little one here." Stray cat came into the stable. She curled up in the straw close to the friends she had found, purring and twitching her tail. Small mouse stopped at the door of the stable, and she saw stray cat and started to quiver with fear. "You're safe here. I won't harm you," said stray cat. "Come inside," kind ox said. "There's always room for a little one here." Small mouse scurried in. She nestled down warm in the straw in the peace of the stable. See, kind ox had to make room for old dog, and stray cat didn't immediately trust old dog. She knew fight or flight were her two options. So old dog had to learn some new tricks in order for the two of them to make a space together. And small mouse quivered for good reason, in fear of the cat. And stray cat had to remind herself not to harm small mouse. See, Mary and Joseph had their baby in the animal storage area of an unnamed family in the middle of nowhere. And God, I think, assumed that that was enough for them for the night. Because then, right at that moment, the story shifts. And this ancient story then tells of God, the angel of God, going to shepherds out in a field beyond Bethlehem. And if anybody knew that stray cat shouldn't trust old dog and small mouse shouldn't trust stray cat, it would be shepherds who are working in a field. And so God goes to them with a message. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." Some translations say, "for all the people." Some translations just say, "for all people." The original Greek includes this definite article, "the." And this sounds like details, but I actually wonder right now if the power and some of the beauty and some of the mystery in Christmas might rest in that definite article, "the." I'm going to invite us to hold this for just a moment. "I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all people." That's mostly how I want to read it. Good news of great joy for all people. Like, all means all. This is the ancient version of the angel showing up with whatever the ancient version of a pride flag is and planting it in the ground and saying, "all means all. Good news of great joy for all people." But the Greek word actually includes the for all the people. It feels a lot more to me like room for a little one, the way they describe it. Good news of great joy for all the people, like the people, not the ruling people, not the clergy people. It's not every Christmas Eve that you hear that message. But I've been holding that a lot this week and wondering if the good news feels like good news for the very beginning, for everybody, or if it takes some time to figure out what that actually looks like. And we have to learn, as we do in this story, to be in this together, to be in life together. Because the Greek says that this is good news of great joy for the people. See, at first glance, I don't imagine that Kind Ox thought that offering hospitality to Old Dog was good news. I'm pretty sure that it wasn't a lot of joy that the dog felt in making space for the cat to come in. And I really doubt that the cat just thought, wow, what a beautiful way to spend the night next to this mouse. They all had to find their way. And so it's God who comes into this, these lowly shepherds in a field, and asks hard questions of me this day. It leaves me wondering, like, what this good news of great joy that's brought to lowly shepherds out in a field might demand of me, a city boy that was trying to figure out how to tie a tie in front of a mirror just moments ago. A person that moves in the world with affluence and even influence. It makes me wonder about what this good news of great joy might be for me, knowing that in a couple of days, Doug, who's unhoused and has been for a long, long time, is going to be sitting right over here. Usually he sits around the second or third row back. And he makes this space his home for a week. It makes me wonder about how this story might invite me into some new ways of being with God and with God's people. See, to the shepherds of old, to the stray cats, the small mouses, and to the Dougs of today, the angel says, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who's the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. The story of Christmas is the story of life together. It's a radical and upside-down reminder that God is always coming to us, creating community among us in life together. And a worship series in January is going to take us into the depths of that, about what this means, that God comes, Emmanuel, God with us, to all of these unwed teen girls and their partners who are struggling to find places to stay tonight. To unnamed families who keep making room for guests and strangers. To shepherds who are doing what shepherds do, out in the field with no one around them. That's where God came long ago. And it's where God comes again this night. God comes into the everydayness of the lives of folks who most often feel forgotten and calls us all into life together. See, God sees the dignity and the beauty and the importance of these folks that are often outcasts. Shepherds, Mary, an unwed teen girl, Joseph. This Israelite family that we don't even get to learn their names. And says, we're all in this together. Old dogs welcoming stray cats, making room for small mice. No wonder we sing Joy to the World. No wonder that takes us to stand in the awe of silent night. Life together with God, coming among us in our differences. Emmanuel in an alley. See, that is good news for the people of every age. It's great joy and cause for a silent night. And it's at that moment, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace among those whom God favors. And if this ancient story is any indication, God favors the least and the outcast. And this is how God brings peace, calling us together to make room for one another. Then tired donkey came, continues this story of room for a little one. Joseph led him along. Mary rode on the tired donkey's back. Joseph was cold and Mary was weary, but there was no room in the inn. Or the family offered the only part of their home that wasn't already overflowing. "Where will my baby be born?" asks Mary. "Come inside," kind ox calls to tired donkey. "There's always room for a little one here." Tired donkey brought Mary into the stable, and Joseph made her a warm bed in the straw to save her from the cold of the night. And so Jesus was born with the animals around him, kind ox, old dog, stray cat, small mouse, and tired donkey, all welcoming him to the warmth of their stable. That cold winter's night, beneath the star's light, a little one came for the world. So may we find our way to the alley this night, and may we make room for one another. And may we all join the people in that chorus of praise. Glory to God this night and every night, for peace is born. Thanks be to God. Amen.
And shall the wolf dwell with the lamb, nor shall the fierce devour the small, as beasts and cattle go be grazed, a little child shall lead them all. Then enemies shall learn to love, all creatures find their true accord. The hope of peace shall be fulfilled, for all the earth shall